We open our Bible again in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13. The 13th chapter of the book of Nehemiah. Let us read some verses from this passage of God's Word. Because of time, we'll just go through some verses and take some verses from this passage of God's truth. Commencing there at verse number 1. Nehemiah chapter 13, commencing at verse 1. On that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them, howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass, when they heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. And before this, Eliashib the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah. And he had prepared for him a great chamber, where aforetime they laid the meat offerings and the frankincense and the vessels and the tithes of the corn and the new wine and the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites and the singers and the porters and the offering of the priests. And down to verse number 15. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, bringing in sheaves and lading asses, as and wine, grapes and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and also all manner of ware, sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah, and said unto them, What evil is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, and did not your God, our God, bring all this evil upon us and upon the city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. Came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded the gates should be shut, and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set eye at the gate, and there shall no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers and all kinds of ware lodged without the gate once or twice. Then I testified against them, and I said unto them, Why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. Verse 23, In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod and Ammon and Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, Ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves. Did not Solomon king of Israel sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God. And God made him king over Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God and marrying strange wives? And one of the sons of Jehoiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law of Sanballat the Horonite. Therefore I chased him from me. Remember them, O my God, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. Thus cleansed I them from all strangers, appointed the wards of the priests and the Levites, every one in his business. And for the wood offering, at times appointed, and for the first fruits, remember me, O my God, for good. We end our reading there, and we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his truth. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is thy word, instruct us from it. O blessed Spirit of God, lead us into all truth. Help us, our God, our Father, to understand what Thy Word is saying to our hearts. And help us, our God, to walk obediently according to Thy precious, infallible truth. Lord, bless us in this gathering. O Father, that we might be obedient unto the heavenly vision. And grant that, our God, that we might do as thus saith the Lord of hosts. Bless us now, cover us in the precious blood, and may we know the anointing of Thy Spirit and the reality and fullness of Thy power. For we pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. In the 13th chapter of the book of Nehemiah, we have been considering already the story of Nehemiah and the building of the walls of Jerusalem, and how that indeed the devil sought to, in many ways and many different ways, to stop the work of God going on and progressing as God had purposed and planned. Of course, God says, I will build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail. God did build his walls, and God saw the work prosper and saw the work finish. But you know, even though the work of God was finished, that did not mean the battle was finished, because the battle continues. The devil seeks to hinder and continue to hinder the work of God. The enemies were grieved at what God was doing. The enemies laughed. The enemies ridiculed. The enemies joined themselves together. The enemies sought to bring about an unscriptural alliance. The enemies threatened. The enemies frightened. All to try to hinder the work of God. But we find that the work of God here in Nehemiah's day was done in the power of God. And thank God, when it's done in the power of God, it will succeed and the Lord will truly bless. I said when you come to chapter 12, if that was the end of the story, everything seems to be grand. Everything seems to be prospering, the work's done, the wall's built, everything's going on well. But you know, the Holy Ghost didn't stop at chapter 12, the Holy Ghost went into chapter 13. And that's where the story ends. And there we find in the 13th chapter, we find the new challenges that went on. And there were further challenges. And there had to be a vigilance in the stand for God. I told you how that Nehemiah, after 12 years there in Jerusalem, he went back because he was there for an appointed time. He went back to the Persian court. And there, once again, he received permission to return. After a period of time, for Nehemiah was a dutiful servant, he was someone who honored God even in his employment. That's very important as well, that we honor God in every aspect of our lives, that even our workplace, that we glorify God there, that we bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord there. Whenever Nehemiah, who was a faithful servant, had returned to the Persian court and under permission had come back again to Jerusalem, we find that in that intervening period, whilst Nehemiah was away, there was an apostasy. There was a discarding, as it were, of Nehemiah's separatist policies in favor of fewer restraints and removing some of what was looked upon as the inhibiting influences. We live in a day and age when there's a great apostasy all around us. And friends, even among the people of God, there are those who would seek to say we ought to, as it were, discard some of the strict separatist policies that we, as a Free Presbyterian Church, would have in accordance with the Word of God, or some of the inhibiting influences, that somehow we should have fewer restraints upon the people. And we should be able be able to do whatever we want to do. And just be able to whatever man sees right in his own eyes. Yet we come back to the Word of God, and so did Nehemiah. When Nehemiah came back, the Bible tells us, when he arrived back, having sought permission to go back to Jerusalem, he finds that there's an apostasy. There's a falling away. And whenever he comes, he finds that there's a reason for the apostasy. There's causes. And then he sees the evidences of the apostasy. And you'll notice that one of the signs in verse number 11 of chapter 13 was this. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and I set them in their place. And so we find that there is a falling away from the house of the Lord and the attendance at the house of the Lord and the forsaking of the house of the Lord. Now I did say that of course there was a sad apostasy that was going on. There were causes and evidences of that apostasy. That falling away from the time when Nehemiah had built the walls of Jerusalem. And the first reason we noticed as we studied it on the previous occasion was this. There was the tragedy of unheeded separation. In verse number 1 it says that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever. And of course whenever the work of God was going on here and prospering, this command of God had been forsaken. There had been a turning away from the clear proclamation of the Word of God. There was a turning away from the clear statement of separation policy that was in the Word of God, that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever. That was a very clear and a very definite statement. Now, how did they find this out? And where was this declaration and proclamation of God given? You find the answer in verse 1. It says, on that day they read in the book of Moses, in other words, the Word of God. In the book of Moses, in the audience of people, and therein was found written. They found written in the Word of God. And so they had got back to the Word of God, and getting back to the Word of God showed them that God had required separation. That there was to be a separation from the Ammonites, and there was to be a separation from the Moabites, and that they should not come into the congregation of the Lord forever. And in our closing part of the sermon, I preached on this 2 weeks ago. We saw that the Word of God was read, and secondly, we noticed that the Word of God was revealed, and then finally, the Word of God was responded to. And so we find there was an unheeded separation. The only answer, of course, was getting back to the Word of God. And whenever you move away from the solid teaching of God's Word, friend, then really you can excuse anything. If you take away the authority of the Word of God, then you have no authority. If the pulpit gets away from the book of God, if the Sabbath school teacher gets away from the Word of God, if the elder gets away from the Word of God and the leadership and the rulership of the church, then, my friend, they lose their authority, because it's the Word of God alone that stands as our authority. God's Word. We must stick to the book. And the Word of God demanded, yes, they found it. In other words, it was hidden. They hadn't been reading the Word of God. And friend, the sad reality is this, that many who profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ are not really students of the Word of God, and they do not know what the Word of God says about many of the challenges and the subjects that are challenging us today. But they find written there that there was a demand from God for separation. And I believe today that there is a demand from God for separation. We read in the second book of Corinthians, come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. And we as Free Presbyterians know that God has called us outside the camp. We left the apostasy. We left the Irish Presbyterian Church. We left the Church of Ireland. We left the churches where the Word of God had been turned away from, and the standards of God had been turned away from. And we shook the dust from off our feet and we took our stand. Why? Because we found it written in the Word of God. That's why we did. We didn't do it to be heroes, or we didn't do it to be martyrs. We did it to obey the Word of God. That's why that we did. And friend, let me tell you this. And when God calls us to come out from among them, be separate, then we should not desire to creep in and be a part of it again. There should not be the desire in our hearts to be a part of it. Thank God. When we leave the apostasy, we leave it and we rejoice in the fact that we have left it. And thank God we don't want it anymore. We want the liberty and the freedom of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That when a man stands in the pulpit, you not wonder, is he going to preach Christ? Is he going to preach the book? Is he going to tell me about my Savior? Or is he going to tell me some story about some nonsense or some bit of fiction to try and pass the time in the pulpit? Let me tell you, my friend, the authority of this congregation and the authority of this preacher and the authority of this denomination is simply the Word of God and the Word of God alone. And we have no other authority. Our moderator's not our authority. Our teachers and our colleges are not our authority. It's the Word of God alone that's our authority. We thank God for our moderator. We thank God for the leadership that He has given us and for the stewardship in His faithfulness to God over these years. And you ought to pray for him every day that God will keep him strong in these latter days of his life, my friend. And we thank God for our teachers and our colleges. But I want to tell you this, my friend. We are strong only as long as we stick to the clear authority of the Word of God and what God says. Thus saith the Lord. Whenever we stand in the pulpit and we open this book and say, listen, there is a word from God for you. There is a word from God. And you come to the clear, unambiguous, clear with clarity, the authority of the Word of the living God. Why was the house of God forsaken? Sadly, my friend, there was the tragedy of unheeded separation. Brethren and sisters, today let me say to you again, wherefore come out from among them and be separate. And touch not the unclean thing. Stay outside the camp for God and for truth. Be not ashamed of the stand that God has called us to. He has not called us to bondage. Hallelujah. We left bondage. He's called us to freedom. And he whom the Son sets free. Hallelujah. We are free indeed. But friend, let me go on. Because there was a second reason for this. Not only was there the unheeded separation, but there was the uncleanness in the sanctuary. There was uncleanness in the sanctuary. You see, if you go on down this passage of God's Word, let's come now to verse number 4. And before this, Eliashib the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of God, was allied to Tobiah. And he had prepared for him a great chamber, where aforetime they laid the meat offerings and the frankincense and the vessels and the tithes of the corn and the new wine and the oil which commanded to be given to the Levites and to the singers and to the porters and to the offerings and the offerings of the priests. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem. You see, we find here that there was apostasy, there was a turning away from the clear declaration of the demands of God whenever Nehemiah was away, and we come to it very clearly. Let me tell you what happened. Eliashib was the high priest. Whenever Nehemiah had left Jerusalem, much of the responsibility was placed upon, especially in the spiritual field, was clearly there upon Eliashib, who was the high priest. And during the time that Nehemiah had left to go back to the Persian court, Eliashib was one of those that desired to discard Nehemiah's separatist policies. He was one of those that felt that you could restrain, or rather, you could have fewer restraints upon the Jewish people and in their worship. And so what he did was this. Because of his alignment with Tobiah, we find that he put out of the great chamber the meat offerings and the frankincense and the vessels and the tithes of the corn and the new wine and the oil. Now, let me say this. Eliashib seemed to have charge when Nehemiah was away, and he thought the 12 years that Nehemiah had of reforms was enough, and now it was time to move on. You ever heard that today? It's time to move on. I quite often am told that preachers have not time to move on. Yes, that's what they used to do. That's the stand which the free church used to take. But we're now in the 21st century. We've got time. We moved on. We don't have the same standards as they had away back then in the last century. Friend, let me tell you this. I didn't know that the Word of God had changed. I'm dead sure it hasn't. And if the Word of God hasn't changed, then the standards haven't changed of the Word of God. And I'm dead sure about that too. The only thing that has changed is man has changed, and man therefore wants to feel that he's so modern, he needs to move on. He doesn't need to stand by the old standard and lift up the old banner. I want to tell you that's the only way that we'll ever get the blessing of God, is to lift the old banner up clearly and plainly and unashamedly as God has given it to us. And so compromise comes in. You see, the Bible tells us that Eliashib had the oversight of the chamber of the house of God. Notice these words. And he was allied unto Tobiah. And he made for Tobiah, verse 5, he prepared for him, that's Tobiah, a great chamber. And you'll find that in verse 7, and it came to when I came to Jerusalem, understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God, and it grieved me sore. Nehemiah, when he came back and he saw the apostasy, he saw the compromise. He saw what had happened in the work of God. And the Bible says it grieved him sore. Why? Why did it grieve him sore? Because of the evil that he had done. Now, what was the evil, friend? The evil was the alliance. That was a part of the evil. The alliance with Tobiah. Eliashib was allied, it tells us, to Tobiah. And because of his alliance with Tobiah, he was demanded, or he felt constrained, to do something for Tobiah. And that was to prepare him a great chamber. Now, who was Tobiah? Who was Tobiah? Let me put it simply, friend. He was an enemy of God. And he was an enemy of God's work. And yet here we find that the Word of God says that when Nehemiah, the servant of God, went back to the Persian court to be able to come back and serve the Lord in Jerusalem again, because he was a faithful servant, we find that when he was away, there was an apostasy, there was a compromise. And we find that the high priest had made an alliance with the enemy of God. And friend, that's what happened in the apostate denominations. They've made alliance with Tobiah. And that's how they've got where they are. They've made alliances with the enemies of God. They sit down with the unregenerate, the ungodly, to plan and purpose the work of God. The Bible says, can two walk together except they be what? Agreed. Except they be agreed. The Holy Ghost tells us, what fellowship can Christ have with the devil, Belial? And what concord is there between the unbeliever and the believer? And here we find that in Nehemiah's day there was this compromise. And we find that Eliashib did a compromise with Tobiah. Now, to prove that Tobiah was the enemy of God, let me just show you some verses here. Because don't take me just simply at my word, friend. It's in the book. Look at the second chapter of the book of Nehemiah. Second chapter, look at verse number 10. It says, when Sambalat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. It grieved them. It grieved Tobiah that there was a man that had risen up amongst the people in Jerusalem that had sought the welfare or the blessing of God upon the children of Israel. They didn't want the blessing of God. It grieved them that God was moving and God was blessing. Go down to verse 19. And when Tobiah the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite and Geshem, the Arabian, heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? And so he's a scorner. And he's a mocker. Turn to chapter 4 quickly. In chapter 4, verse 3, it says, now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he will even break down their stone wall. And Tobiah there is in the heart of the enmity against the people of God. Turn to verse 7 of that same chapter 4. And now it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonite and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Here we find that Tobiah is amongst those that plans and purposes to fight the work of God. And why are they fighting the work of God, friend? They're fighting it to hinder it, to stop the work of God. Because they're angry. Because God's blessing. And then go to chapter 6. When you go to chapter 6, it tells us there, in the sixth chapter, how that in verse number 12, and though I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. Here's a man. Here's a man, Tobiah. Verse 17, moreover, in those days the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. And verse 19, also they reported his good deed before me and uttered my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. And then you come to chapter 13, and it tells us that Eliashib the priest, verse 4, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah. A man who was an enemy of God, friend. A man that opposed the work of God. A man that had done everything that he could stop or could do to stop and to hinder the work of God and fight the work of God. And there we find the high priest makes an alliance with him. And that's what's happening today in the ecumenical movement. They have joined up with the very enemies of God. Doesn't matter what a man believes at all, if he has some kind of a head knowledge that there is of God, then you reach out your hand and you call him your brother. That's why God called this church into being, to take a stand outside the camp. And thank God we're not a part of the ecumenical movement, and we're not a part of the World Council of Churches. And we're not a part of the Irish Council of Churches. Thank God we're a part of those that stand true to this book. And we can join hands with those that are faithful to the Word of God and stand as separatists outside the camp for the glory and for the honor and for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Eliashib was able to ally himself with the enemies of God. And that's what the ecumenical movement's doing today. But notice what they do, friend. Look at it. Because that Eliashib had made his compromise and made his alliance, verse 5, he prepared for him a great chamber. Well, you see, whenever you make your alliances, if you lie down with the dogs, you'll rise with the fleas, and that's true. But friend, when you make your alliances, there's always a price. There's always a price to be made. And you make the compromise with the enemies of God, I'll tell you this, my friend, there's always a price to be paid, and here it was. Because Tobiah, Eliashib thought he was duty bound to make a place for Tobiah. Tell me, where did he make it? In the very house of God. He put him right in the heart
of the house of God.
And before he did it, friend, let me tell you, before he did it, he had to put other things out. Because he put the meat offerings and he put the frankincense. Because you see in this place, the meat offerings and the frankincense and the oils, the tithes of the corn and the new wine, they were all here in this store, as it were. But they were thrown out. What did these speak to us, friend? What are these things that were in this chamber? What did they speak to us? They stood and they speak to us of Jesus in His glorious person, each one of these. And friend, that's what the apostasy has done. To bring in the Tobias of this world, to bring in those that oppose our Lord Jesus Christ, they've got to put Jesus out. They've got to put Jesus out. And they put the enemy of God right in their very heart. They established the headquarters of the enemy of God, friend, in the house of the Lord, the sacred chamber of the temple. Now, of course, this had happened whenever Nehemiah was away. You say, was there nobody faithful to stand for God whenever Nehemiah was away? Was there nobody that spoke up, friend? There was. The last book of the Old Testament is the book of Malachi. And during this time, Malachi was living. And Malachi, the faithful servant of God, spoke and lifted up his voice and spoke against the priests of that time. But sad to say, the words of Malachi went unheeded. They didn't want to know. And friend, let me tell you this. There is a great falling away, and in many places there's a great departure. But the sad thing is this. Whenever you make alliance with these people, there are many who profess the name of Jesus Christ in these denominations, but they don't want to know. They just don't want to know. Because they know that if they were to listen to what God says, if they were to listen to the demands that God makes, then there's a call to obedience. And they too would have to come out from among them and be separate. But they don't want to do it. They don't want to pay the price. We sang the hymn this morning, "The price is high, severe the test for those that would enjoy God's best. Surrender all and take the road with those that will go through with God." And alas, there are many people today, many in themselves good people, and yet they disobey the Lord and they will not take their stand for God. They will not separate from the depths of apostasy today because of the price, the personal price that they might have to pay. But there's a price to disobey God. And whenever Nehemiah comes back and he sees the apostasy, there's simply three things. I mean, first of all, he investigated, verse 7, and I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. Listen, he investigated the matter. He investigated it. But he didn't stop there. Because the Bible says that when he investigated, it says in verse 8, "It grieved me sore." And there was not only investigation, there was intolerance. Because let me tell you, when he realized what was going on and the alliance which had been made, he realized there's something has to be done here. And what does it say in verse 8? "And it grieved me sore. Therefore, I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber." Let me tell you, friend, root and branch, he threw it out. He threw it out! He did not compromise. He said, "We come." He did not say, "Listen, we've got to sort of take a middle way in this apostasy." No, friend. He took the action. he would clean the house of God. And the Bible says, it grieved me sore. Tell me, I asked you a question. When you look around and you see the apostasy all around us, friend, and the falling away, tell me, does it grieve you? Does it grieve your heart? Men who profess the name of Jesus Christ and stand up and they preach a watery message that's not a message at all, friend, a message without the blood, a message without the Lord Jesus Christ, without the cross. And they try to water it down to please the crowd. Let me ask you, does that grieve you? Does not grieve you? Then does it call to action? Yes. It was a call to action because I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Thank God he took decisive action. For the house of God was defiled and he threw it out. But he didn't stop there. Because he realized that emptying the house was one thing. Emptied that thou shouldest fill me. Verse 9 says, then I commanded that they cleanse the chamber. He got rid of the rubbish. And the rubbish was the household stuff of the enemies of God, and he got rid of it. And then he realized, listen, we better clean this place. Let's cleanse it. And he cleansed the chamber, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and the frankincense. They let the Lord take his rightful place. They let the Lord take his rightful place. And the place that was used for the purpose that God intended, thank God he brought it back. And we can provide the service that God demands of us, friend, until, first of all, we are cleansed. And secondly, until we are filled. Cleansed and filled. The meat offering spoke of Christ. Oh, the frankincense, the sweetness of the frankincense, it spoke of Jesus. Where did Nehemiah get his conviction? On the authority of the Word of God. Brethren and sisters, this morning we have to finish. Time's away. Stick by the book. Stick by the Word of God. Oh, that we will not defile ourselves, but that we will be cleansed personally. Personally cleansed. You and I need cleansed from our own sin. We have sinned this week that has passed. We have let the Lord down. We need the cleansing of the blood. But we need something else. We need the infilling of the Spirit of God to go forward and to claim the ground for God. Cleansed and filled, then fit for the service of God. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee in the precious name of Thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus. And O God, we covet more than anything else this morning His presence. O God, that Thou will come among Your people, that Thou will help us, our God, to be obedient unto Thy Word, that Thou will empty us of self, empty us of sin, and fill us
with the fragrance of Thy Spirit. Father, realize this morning that we are not fit for Thy service, except our sins have been put under the blood of Jesus and that we're filled with the Holy Ghost. O God, I bow before Thee. We sang in this service this morning, I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Take all that there is of our lives. Take every door, open it, of our hearts. Sweep every room of our lives and make them clean. And may the fragrance of Thy presence fill the air. For those that know Thee not, those that are God day by day, they're in alliance with the rest of the enemies of God. For they're walking under their foot the precious blood of Jesus. Save such this morning. Let them not go out, our God, judging others. But, O God, search me. O God, may that be the cry of their heart. And make this congregation and people right with Thee. Separate us with Thy blessing. Remember the evening service, our God, our Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Encourage Your people to encourage others. Fill Thy house and save the lost. For Jesus' sake. Amen.